National Public Radio Affiliate. Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's Jazz Station. A broadcast service of Clark Atlanta University.
This program is not being used to make diagnosis, administer treatment, prescribe medication, or order tests. The information contained in this program is provided as an educational service. This program is not a replacement for the relationship you have with your healthcare provider. If you have concerns about your health, please contact your healthcare provider immediately.
Welcome to Your Health Connection. I am Dr. Ronald A. Johnson, president of Clark Atlanta University. This program was made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University, by WCLK 91.9 FM, and by Clark Atlanta University itself. Your Health Connection focuses on today's healthcare information to help you improve your quality of life.
Good evening and welcome to this evening's edition of Your Health Connection. I'm your host, Patty Walden, and I'd like to welcome you to a new year and welcome you to just a new opportunity to take control of your health. Today we are discussing pancreatic cancer, and our guests are Dr. David Kuby, surgeon with the Winship Cancer Center. Say hello.
Hello, and thank you for having me here.
Ms. Sheila Cosgrove with the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. Say hello, Sheila.
Everyone. Hello.
And I call her Thriver and Survivor, Ms. Tiana DeCray. Say hello, Tiana.
Good evening. Thank you for having me on the show.
So, awesome. First of all, again, Happy New Year. I just want to give a quick shout out to caregivers. First of all, I had to fly home. My mother took ill and had to fly home unexpectedly and sit with my mother and just take care of her for a little while. She had been in the hospital and had to be rushed to the hospital. And I've never really had to do that. And so I just want to send a shout out there to people who are a support system for people who are struggling with any type of illness. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of energy. And I'm appreciative of the support that people give and that people receive. But first of all, let me say that cancer is the third, Dr. Kuby, the third leading cause of cancer deaths?
Oh, pancreatic cancer is overall fourth leading cause.
It's fourth, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us and tell our listeners, what is pancreatic cancer?
So pancreatic cancer is one subtype of cancer. It's actually a group of diseases. It affects a gland that lives kind of silently in the back of our bodies that helps produce insulin that regulates our blood sugars and also creates a digestive enzyme that helps us digest our food. So if their pancreas is working fine, there's no issues. People know of diabetes that happens if the pancreas is not producing insulin or the insulin's not effective. But like any gland or any part of the body, you can develop a cancer. And by definition, a cancer is a group of cells that have gone haywire and then can spread to other parts of the body and take people's lives. Mm-hmm. Pancreatic cancer is especially notable because it is quite an aggressive cancer. And many cancers we've made a lot of strides on, but we have a long way to go with pancreatic cancer.
Right. Let me pause right here and remind the listeners that this is a live show, and we do definitely want you to call in. You can call in at 404-880-9255, and we're here to take your tweets at CCRTD. With that definition, thank you, Dr. Kuby, I want to ask Tiana, just tell us what your story was like, just having learned that you've been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
Sure. You know, it's actually almost a comical story because the day that I found out, it was April 1st. It was April Fool's Day. And the day that I had gone in just for a doctor's appointment because I had a stomach ache, it was nothing significant at least. It had lasted for about a month. And I went in, and the doctor that I happened to see, she said, you know, let's make sure, should I think it's an ulcer, let's make sure that we know what we're dealing with. So let's get a CAT scan. So I did the CAT scan, And she called me in about an hour's time and said, there's a mass in your pancreas and it might be cancer. And the bottom didn't fall out. I didn't necessarily panic. I actually kind of just went on with my day, went to lunch. But I did start looking for a doctor at that point because she said it was imperative that I see somebody right away because it is an aggressive type of cancer. And at the time, I didn't know anything about pancreatic cancer except Steve Jobs had died from it.
Right.
I knew it was bad. And I started researching right away, and I think I was able to read only the first line that said something to the effect of, this is one of the most deadliest cancers that there is, and only at the time about 8% of people who are diagnosed will survive 5 years at most.
Wow.
So that was, it was a scary moment, but it was definitely a moment that I decided, okay, I've got to decide how I'm going to live this out should the worst happen. And immediately, like I said, I started looking for a doctor, found Winship Cancer Center, and Josh Weiner agreed to see me right away within a couple of days, actually, and the process just started from there. It went very quickly, and I was very fortunate that the process did go so quickly, because that is one of the most difficult things about this cancer is there is no early detection. There is no screening for it. There are so many people who are diagnosed in stage 4. I was actually diagnosed in stage 2. So that actually increased my chances substantially of beating the statistics.
Yes.
So things moved really quickly, and my entire medical team, including Dr. Kuby, who was part of this team, moved very aggressively and very quickly to make sure that I was able to get the treatment that I needed right away.
Excellent. So Dr. Kuby, you say aggressive, and of course you hear aggressive and you think, oh, what's the next step? I mean, it sounds like Tiana did some things very right. I mean, what should a person's very next step be,
you know,
after hearing that?
I think, well, her description was wonderful. I think time is a relative concept. And so when you get the news, I think the first thing you're supposed to do is take a deep breath. Things aren't going to change overnight, typically. So you have a little bit of time to take stock and gather information, go see your own doctor first, get an idea of sort of, you know, what's in store, and then start doing a little bit of homework. And once you do that, then you can start plotting out a plan. When I see patients, I typically will tell them, we can plan 10 steps ahead, but we got to clear one step at a time. So at each point, we're going to have to take a deep breath, because you get this diagnosis and this information, and you know, you may think the world's ending, and it is aggressive, and it can move along fairly quickly, but you do have time to make good decisions. Not sure that I answered your question.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. So let me bring Sheila in the conversation here. Sheila, want to find out what your experience has been. How did you even become involved with the network?
I actually, unfortunately, became involved with the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network when I lost my father to pancreatic cancer in 2008. He was diagnosed at stage 4. Yes. He actually did respond well to both radiation and chemotherapy, and he was with us for about 22 months after diagnosis. And in dealing with his diagnosis and with my family and how we approached it, of course, we all just kind of jump and do all the research, and then finding out that the survival rate at that point, I believe it was only 6%. We have seen some gains, very slight, in the ensuing years. But knowing it was so low and knowing that it hadn't changed in about 40 years, it really spurred not just myself but also my family. I have 4 older sisters and 2 older brothers, and we're all involved in some way with the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. So since that time, we've just kind of dedicated everything that we could to increasing awareness about the disease, helping to raise funds for research, and just supporting the community of people that we've met, both survivors and their families, through the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network.
Yes. Thank you. I'm sorry to hear about your dad.
Thanks.
Fact is, cancer happens. Cancer happens. It's what you do with it, or it's what you do next, that helps you and helps the people around you. Tiana, I want to ask you, I want to talk about your blog a little bit, because it sounds like that's been a part of your process, a part of your coping mechanism, if you will. One of the things that jumped out at me when I looked at your blog was how to tell your teenage children, and the statement that you put there that your daughter had said was, it's like you already died.
Mm-hmm.
Just talk about what that was like, explaining it and hearing that back from her.
I think that moment actually made me, my heart drop more than hearing the words, you have cancer. My daughter is 13 years old, so she's young. And we sat there at dinner one night, and we were at the Cheesecake Factory, and we were just kind of having this, you know, normal mother-daughter dinner. And she looked me in the eye, and she said exactly that. She said, are you going to die? And I said, well, no, I don't think so. And she said, well, I've read everything about pancreatic cancer. And she told me 92% of all people that get this disease die, and they die quickly. And she followed that up with, you know, she said, it's like you've already died, and we are just now waiting. That's what we're waiting for. I'm waiting to get the call that you've already died. And I think for me to have to sit there and look her in the eye and say either, yes, I am going to die because the statistics say so, or no, I'm not going to die. And I felt like it was a little bit of a lie because the odds were not great. My doctor and I had talked about it. He said I was in a good position. I was healthy. They caught it early, so to speak. And so those were all good things. But at the same time, there was the blaring fact that I couldn't ignore that most people don't survive this disease. And I couldn't really think of any real reason that I would be different. But I did look her in the eye and I told her, I said, I will die someday. And I said, but it's not going to be today. It's not going to be tomorrow. And it's not going to be like this or from this disease. And I felt guilty thinking, what if the worst does happen?
Right.
And again, I researched a lot about what do you tell your children? And everything that I read said you are honest with them, you are gentle with them, but you also keep them hopeful and optimistic. So the entire time that from the day that I got diagnosed or from the day that I found out on April 1st that it was a possibility that I even had cancer, I kind of coined the phrase, cancer can't steal my joy. And it was like at the end of all of my blog posts and all of my Facebook posts, and I wrote it in everything, and I said it all the time. I wrote it up on my mirror and lipstick and decided that I was going to choose to do the best I could with the situation that I was given, and I wasn't going to allow this to tear apart my family or to steal my joy. I was going to try to be as optimistic and as hopeful as I could, and that included how I dealt with my children about this subject.
Yes. You're listening to WCLK, Your Health Connection. I'm Patty Walden, your host, and tonight we are talking about pancreatic cancer, what it is, how to survive it, how to thrive with it, and how to deal with it. And you can certainly call us. We're here taking your calls live at 404-880-9255. We're taking your tweets at CCRTD. We've got Dr. Kuby here with us, surgeon extraordinaire. Teacher, what else? But Tiana mentioned hopeful, and I want to talk about hope. So I want to find out what treatment options there might be out there for pancreatic cancer, given the evens and the odds.
Yeah, I think it's important to understand, and Tiana mentioned Steve Jobs. Now, he had a pancreatic cancer. It was a little bit of a different flavor of pancreatic cancer. He had something called a pancreatic neuroendocrine tumor, which, again, is a cancer and did take his life over the course of a decade. So by no means am I discounting that disease, but it is a disease in general with a better prognosis versus pancreatic adenocarcinoma, which is what the majority of people will mean when they're saying pancreatic cancer. That's the one that is typically more aggressive from time of diagnosis. So and that matters because the treatment options are different between the diseases. But, you know, and your doctor will help you through all of that, or your doctors, your team will help you through all of that to know which one is the right diagnosis and the right treatments. But for the traditional pancreatic adenocarcinoma, and, you know, you say Steve Jobs, we'll say Patrick Swayze, for instance, died of the other type. The options when a patient is a candidate for surgery, which is going to be around 20% of the time. So if there are 100 people who are diagnosed, typically about 20 or maybe even a little less will be candidates for surgery. And what we're learning and have learned over the past few years is that typically surgery is not enough alone and usually is going to require some additional therapies such as chemotherapy, which are obviously the drugs that are given by medical oncologists. Occasionally, radiation therapy may also play a role. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit controversial because we have big clinical trials, some of which have shown a benefit to radiation and others that have questioned the benefit. So it's surgery plus some other therapy. Sometimes that other therapy is given before surgery, sometimes after, and sometimes both.
Okay. What about diet? And this will be a question for everyone, but are there foods that are absolutely no, that you shouldn't touch because it could affect you adversely?
Dr. So it depends on where the patient is. If the patient's feeling great at the time they get the diagnosis, but somebody notices perhaps their jaundice, one of the signs that tips you off that there might be a pancreatic cancer, then the things we stay away from are alcohol consumption of any kind. Fatty foods may disagree with the person at that time. I think the bottom line is moderation and maybe not going crazy with any new fad or some strange herbal treatment until you talk to your doctor.
Right. Deanna?
One of the challenges with pancreatic cancer is eating. So your pancreas isn't digesting your food properly. I had to take enzymes to be able to digest my food. I was losing a lot of weight. That was actually one of the symptoms or one of the signs that I kind of didn't notice in the beginning, was I was dropping a significant amount of weight very rapidly. Like between the time that I went and got the CATs or the time that I saw my doctor and went and got a CAT scan the next day, I had dropped like 4 pounds. And then between the time that I got the first CAT scan and saw Dr. Weiner the following week, I had dropped like another 7 or 8 pounds. Eating was a challenge. I did change my diet immediately from everything I had read. It just seemed like a smarter thing to do, regardless of whether the research could support that it was going to make any real changes.
Right.
So I took out like 90% of processed sugar.
Okay.
I was, you know, juicing. I was taking supplements. I was doing all kinds of things. I don't know that that necessarily impacted the outcome as far as whether or not I was going to continue to have cancer, but it made me feel better. I felt healthier.
Yes.
I was able to continue, like even during chemo, I continued to work. I didn't have a whole lot of, you know, really bad days where I couldn't function, even though I was on a very aggressive type of chemo regimen.
Okay.
So I think from the perspective of diet, when people are asking whether or not it works, I think if it makes you feel good, if it makes you feel better, healthier, do it.
Sure. That's good advice. Sheila, did you notice anything with your father? Did you all do anything in terms of his diet? Did you see him eating different foods?
At the time, actually, before he was diagnosed, he had been, I'm not sure if it was correctly or incorrectly, diagnosed with diabetes. So at the time, he was really just making sure that he was taking care of his diet with regard to that. Once his diagnosis came, it was very difficult for him to keep the weight on through the treatment. And we really didn't do much differently in terms of his diet. He did quit smoking, which is something that he should have done a long time ago. But as far as his diet, no, we didn't make a whole lot of changes, or he didn't make a whole lot of changes at the time. And honestly, he was, I believe, 80 when he was diagnosed. So he had lived, fortunately, a good life. And I think his attitude was more of, I'd like to enjoy the time that I have.
Yeah.
And I don't think he made a whole lot of changes, and perhaps he should have, but he didn't make a whole lot of changes at that point.
But he enjoyed.
He did.
He enjoyed what
Indeed.
He had.
He did.
Awesome. Tiana, you are a special education?
Yes, I am.
Teacher.
I teach in DeKalb County at Tapestry Charter Public.
Okay. I just wonder how, I think you have to be a special person anyway to be in special education and love it. I think your sixth sense is passion. And how did having that responsibility to teach special education and your own children around you help support what you were going through?
I had a wonderful support network. I have no family here, actually, in the Atlanta area, but I grew a family and became part of different families throughout this experience. So I had a group of friends that were very close to me, my sisters, my girlfriends, who rallied around me. I had something like 375 people on my Facebook page that were always supporting me. And then my students at school were very supportive. I actually sat down and talked with them, and we watched a video about cancer the very first day because they were young. You know, they were middle school and freshmen in high school.
Sure.
And then my son's football team became one of my biggest support systems. So a group of teenage boys who play football, who are, you know, rough, tough, tumble kind of kids, they became the most loving, most wonderful part of my life. And it was remarkable to see them, how supportive they were, how caring they were, how aware they were.
Yeah.
From everything from when I had to shave my hair off because my hair started falling out, to just if I had a bad day at chemo, they would be sending me messages and text and Facebook posts and Instagram posts and things like that. So that was a really unique and special part of my experience, that it was really a lot of kids who rallied around me.
Nice.
And my students in particular, because I am working with students with disabilities, it was definitely something that was unique because I wasn't sure if these kids were going to have quite the understanding, but they had extreme amounts of empathy and really showed a great deal of compassion. So that was a really nice experience.
Nice. Nice. You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK 91.9 FM. Undoubtedly, there's someone out there who might be experiencing about with pancreatic cancer. We've got survivors here. We've got experts. We've got friends. We've got people with great knowledge. So get your questions in your mind and call us when we come back right after the break.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kimberly Davis with the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. Prostate cancer often has no early warning signs or symptoms, but screening can detect the cancer in its earliest stages when it is most curable. The key is to know your numbers. Annual testing with the prostate-specific antigen test, or PSA, can lead to early detection and cancer confined to the prostate that has a significantly higher cure rate. Know what your PSA number is every year. Do not accept your PSA is normal. Ask for the actual number. This might be the most important number of your life. For more information, contact the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at 404-880-6878. Or email us at cancerinfo@cau.edu. This message has been brought to you by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University.